Vacation. Had to kind of double up on my creative ideas this week. Grace and peace to you, God, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a bit of a strange story that is retold in the gospel reading today. Not all of the pieces fit together just right, I think. Jesus had traveled to the country of the Gerasenes by boat, where he steps out on dry land. Only Gerasa is not necessarily near any large body of water. Maybe it bumps up against the southeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, but it's a long shot. Anyway, all of a sudden, just as Jesus is getting his land legs under him, this demon-possessed individual is up in Jesus' face. Only it's not an aggressive confrontation. Rather, the man falls down before Jesus, almost as if in worship or to beg. And the demon, rather than accosting Jesus with some evil spell, implores Jesus not to expel him from the man. It's as if the demon is afraid of Jesus. And then in the story, we get a little bit of background regarding what kind of horrible things this demon has done to the man. We didn't know that part before, but it sort of shows us that this demon is not always so cowardly and submissive as he seems to be here. He's really quite destructive to the man. But Jesus proceeds to inquire of the demon as to its name, only to find out that its name is Legion. For it's not one demon, but many. And they again beg Jesus not to send them out of the man, because apparently they're having a good old time hanging out in this guy's body. And if Jesus casts them out, they'll end up in some place called the Abyss, a place that they're familiar with, but where they don't apparently want to go. Now, the demons seem to be in charge of the narrative, because they come up with their own solution to the real estate question. They spy a herd of pigs on the hillside, and they beg Jesus to let them enter these. And Jesus, always courteous and polite, gives them permission. Plus, as you know, Jews don't care much for pigs, so what better place to relocate a group of pesky demons? So off the demons go, down out of the man and into the pigs, whereupon the pigs become so agitated that they run down the hillside into the lake where they are drowned. Never mind that there isn't a lake in the country of the Gerasenes. Now, that would be a fine place to end the story. But no, apparently there are swineherds, as much the same as there are shepherds. And these swineherds, who had been tending to the pigs, saw all of this that had happened, and they go and they tell everyone they can find that about these demons that were sent into the pigs and the pigs that ran down the hillside into the water. So of course everyone has to come out and see for themselves. You notice that people haven't changed all that much. People still do this when something strange happens. If there's a car accident or a tree falls over or some crazy guy is casting out demons someplace where the pigs are grazing. Even today, people will come out and stand around and gawk just to say that they've been there. Anyway, so everyone comes out and finds not only Jesus, but also the demon-possessed guy, only now he's fully clothed and sane as a stump. And finally, the story seems to level out, not so weird anymore. But no, rather than rejoicing that this one who so recently was violently possessed and now is in his right mind, ready to interact normally with the people of his town and his family, rather than giving thanks to Jesus for healing their neighbor and their friend, these people from all of the countryside and all over the city choose to react not with praise or humble thanks, but with fear and exclusion. And they insist that Jesus leave their country as soon as possible. You know, ordinarily, ordinarily, Luke is a pretty good storyteller. Luke, the writer of this gospel, tells with such clarity the beauty of the story of Jesus' birth, with the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem and the shepherds and the angels singing in the skies. Luke relates the parable of the prodigal son. And you can empathize with the father who waits on his front porch for his wayward son to come home. It's a clearly told story. This story is strange. This story is different. There are pieces out of place and the settings don't make sense. People say and do strange things in this story. It's like it doesn't fit. But then I wonder if that isn't the point. I wonder if Luke tells the story almost like it would have been like to live it. From the very beginning of the story, we know that we're following Jesus into a strange land, a foreign country. And anyone who's crossed an international border knows that when you leave home and enter another country, things seem strange. Not only that, but the life of this poor man that's filled with demons. How horrible his life must have been. Seizures and chains and fits of rage and living not in the safety of people who love him, but in the tombs among the dead. Perhaps this story reads so strange because only in this way can we get a glimpse of what this demon-possessed man saw through his own eyes. And the pigs. The pigs. The original folks who would have read this story by Luke were people who knew very little about pigs. In Jewish culture, pigs are unclean. Nobody knew what to do with pigs. But in this story, the pigs actually do something remarkable, even miraculous, although sacrificial. These unclean pigs give their lives for the sake of all of the people of this foreign country that Jesus has entered. Because when they throw themselves into the water and are drowned, the legion of demons is destroyed too. It's common lore that demons and water don't mix. Remember the demise of the Wicked Witch of the West? Or why do you think we use baptismal water as a cleansing of sin? When the pigs sacrifice themselves, they also destroy the demons so that never again can they ravage another soul like they did this man whom Jesus has cleansed. This also represents a cleansing, a salvation even. For the country of the Gerasenes. Even here in this faraway land, Jesus is fulfilling his purpose to set free those who are in bondage to sin. And speaking of the people of this land of demons and pigs, they aren't too happy with a foreigner coming in and upsetting the status quo. In the same way that they don't know what to do with their neighbor, except to try and chain him to a tombstone and leave him to sleep among the graves, they also don't know what to do with this spellcaster like Jesus. But I think this is actually one of the only parts of the story that does make sense. For we don't often know what to do with what we do not understand. Fear seems to come more naturally than the hard work of getting to know the unfamiliar. Although we may chasten the people of Gerasea for their indifference towards Jesus, I'm not sure that we wouldn't react just the same today. So I think Luke has crafted this little story of the time when Jesus crossed over into a foreign land, a strange land filled with strange demons and animals and even people, because when we find ourselves called into the life and ministry of Jesus, when we agree that Jesus is the one who is going to be our Lord and we will follow him, when we stop and step out of the boat that has carried us from our old life into the new, proclaiming the holy power of God in Jesus Christ, even if we're stepping out into our own familiar neighborhood, we are entering a strange and uncertain land indeed. And it's quite unsettling to confront the demons of our own age. Demons that look more like abusive behavior to self and others. Addiction, substance abuse, and mental illness, but also the acquisition of wealth, ambition, workaholism, neglect of family, and self. And in today's world, they are legion upon legion. But this is the place to which our God has brought us. A place where we step out of our boat and must address these social ills and personal dysfunctions. A place where the joy of the freedom of the gospel means more than going to heaven when we die, but the light of heaven entering into the darkness of our world and turning on the light. Because the darkness is in us too. The demon lives inside of us, causing us to thrash about in our fears and uncertainties. And the tombs among which we live are the tombs of self-certainty, arrogance, and greed. And the darkness doesn't always seem all that strange. But praise the one who breaks the darkness. Praise the one who drove out demons. Let us sing with joy and gladness. Praise the one who makes us one. Hymn number 843.